Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Senior government ministers will meet today in a bid to devise a fresh scheme to increase the level of accommodation available to those fleeing the conflict in Ukraine. Homeowners are expected to be enticed into offering accommodation in return for an increased payment. Now, approximately 43 refugees were left without accommodation over the weekend when the City West transit hub closed to new arrivals. Homeless charities have been providing their services, but many people opted to return to Dublin Airport for shelter. For more on this now, I'm joined by Gabby Agatafitzcaitha, who's political reporter with the Irish Independent, and also Alan Bailey, manager of the Capuchin Day Centre. Thank you both for joining us. So Gabby, this meeting today, what are we expecting from this gathering of senior government ministers to discuss this? Will they be addressing this new payment we're hearing about?
Yeah, so there's a number of proposals on the table. Of course, we've seen government really see a massive challenge ever since the outbreak of the war in Ukraine and the refugees coming in and trying to accommodate them. So there's a number of options on the table. I suppose the first one, and we've heard this mooted now for a long time, is that €400 recognition payment that every household receives if they take in a refugee. There's indications that that will be increased. Not really clear to how much it might be increased to now. I know Taoiseach Micheál Martin, I think, indicated as far back as September that it may be increased, and that still hasn't happened. So I suppose this meeting comes at a good time because, of course, you know, obviously decision is due on that. And also, you know, how do we accommodate all these people that are coming in, not just from Ukraine, but from other countries also. So another payment that's on the table, Philip Ryan reports from the Irish Independent, is that people may be incentivised to, I suppose, give their vacant homes and a payment might be given to them in return to accommodate refugees. Now, we know that, of course, that Red Cross portal was set up at the very start of the outbreak of the war, and that really hasn't gone to plan, to say the least. You know, I think there was about 20,000 pledges, about half of those fell through. We're seeing local authorities really take their time in going through the pledges, vesting them and actually putting people into them. And a lot of people that would have put in their pledges, they, you know, usually come back and they say, you know, I had a house available and nobody's been in touch with me, or maybe the process has started, but it's very, very slow. So government is obviously keen to try and utilise as much accommodation as possible. I think we've booked about 25% of all hotel accommodation in the country now for refugees. But I think the issue there now is that medium-term plan. So in the medium-term plan for housing people, that modular housing, you know, we really haven't seen that take off really at all. So I think government is keen to do something on that front.
And then the very short-term plan, this new facility at Dublin Airport, that's due to open this evening.
That's right. So, of course, we did see City West reach capacity and it had to close. That's why we saw 43 people that were coming in from Ukraine effectively having to be told, look, the state is not able to provide accommodation for you. So I suppose there was a little bit of a scramble over the weekend, and now they're going to open up a building just for very temporary accommodation at the airport. But again, you know, it's a very temporary solution to a problem that doesn't seem to be really easing up. And I think the challenge now is to try and accommodate people on a medium to long-term basis as opposed to very short-term.
The political side of this, Gabby, what level of political pressure is there on the government to get this situation sorted?
There is a lot of pressure. I mean, right from the outset, of course, government was not prepared for thousands of people to come in from Ukraine, and because, you know, we weren't really expecting a war and we didn't have to start that much time to prepare. So I suppose at first the opposition were, I suppose, maybe mindful of that a little bit. But now, you know, the war started back in February and now we're in, you know, heading into November. We're still seeing people, but really the shortage of housing really hasn't gotten any better. We're still seeing a lot of reliance on hotels, which of course are very expensive. The pledges didn't work out really at all. You know, 20,000 pledges were made, only several thousands that have actually been activated and people living in them. So the opposition is, I suppose, really gotten to a point where it can give the government a good kicking over the lack of preparation and the lack of, I suppose, thinking ahead in recent months. But on the other side of the coin, you know, it is really an unprecedented situation. Not only do we have, I think it's over 55,000 refugees that have come in from Ukraine now, we've also seen thousands and thousands that have come in from other countries also, you know, seeking asylum. And I think, interestingly as well, something that ministers will consider today is that issue of rent, or asking people who are living in direct provision, who have gotten their documents, but that have been unable to find housing as a result of the housing crisis, that still live in direct provision, to charge them a form of rent. Now, government is keen to avoid that term rent or seeing them as tenants, because, of course, that adds on a whole new level of legal complexities, but it will be some sort of payment. And a similar vein also may be asking Ukrainian refugees who are in hotels, maybe asking them to pay for their own meals, so that, I suppose, they're more encouraged to go off and find other accommodation as opposed to staying in hotels.
Okay. All right, Gabby, thank you very much. As I mentioned, I'm also joined by Alan Bailey of the Capuchin Day Centre. Alan, I know you've been helping people who have no accommodation, giving them food and facilities to shower. Will you just tell us a little bit about what you've been doing for arriving Ukrainians this weekend in particular?
Yeah. Good morning, Claire. Our chairman, Father Richard, was contacted last Thursday and asked would we be able to facilitate a number of refugees who were due to arrive to us on Friday and over the weekend. We readily agreed. On Friday, we had six, I think, in a group. And then on Saturday, we had over 20 in a group of Ukrainian people that arrived. One of our staff members here is a Ukrainian speaker, so she was able to interpret for us. And we made it feel very welcome, very much at home. We apologised and that maybe it all didn't live up to their expectations, but that insofar as we could, with our meals, our medical services, our hygiene services, that we'd give them the welcome they were looking for. They left, I think, very appreciative of what we gave them. And they came back Saturday afternoon for a dinner and stayed up to 3 o'clock when we closed. And they'll be back in this morning. And as well as that group of refugees, we'd also have a number of settled Ukrainian refugees from areas around the city. So we have been dealing with them for some time, mm-hmm. and we have made them welcome.
But Alan, these people who came over the weekend, they had nowhere to stay, did they, at night?
They were heading back to the airport once they were fed with us.
Okay, so yeah. You were giving them the hot meal and toiletries and they were then heading off.
Yeah, we don't have accommodation facilities here. But certainly they were given all the use of all our various facilities, you know, the hygiene and clean clothes and all that.
Were they shocked, do you know, that they had nowhere to go, nowhere to stay when they arrived in Ireland?
I think maybe a certain level they were shocked or a bit disappointed, but they're certainly appreciative of any help they were getting, and a lot of them spoke of what they had left behind them and how happy they were to be here. And we were explaining to them, look, it will happen. You will have accommodation. And in the meantime, we're here to help out. And I think that was the message that they took with them.
Yeah. And I know you're very busy every day, you know, outside of what you're doing at the moment to help people arriving from Ukraine. But that call that your organisation had on Thursday, I mean, have you been told that this is going to be a regular thing now for you?
Oh, no, we haven't been told. This was a once-off, as far as we were concerned. But, I mean, we're here to help if we're needed at any stage. We do in excess of 500 dinners every day, and I put it to our staff that we would have a number of others, and they rode in, and you know, it's great to see the support we're getting from our staff, and mm-hmm. as I said, these people were made to feel very welcome here.
And of course, Alan, I'm sure there's a big demand for your services anyway because of the cost of living crisis.
There is. We found that our breakfast now are over 200 every day, and that's on a normal day. This morning we'll have over 350. We have 150 families queuing, I say, for nappies and baby food as I speak. So we have a lot of services and a lot of demand. But thankfully, we're meeting it. Brother Kevin, the founder, always maintained that nobody should leave here hungry, and we're ensuring that that doesn't happen.
All right, Alan, thank you very much for joining us. That's Alan Bailey there from the Capuchin Day Centre. Back after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.